Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, it's the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I know we had originally planned to give Schomburg Stu a break, but Dan sadly is under the weather, so Stu graciously came back and joined us again on Thursday to fill in for Dan. So we got Stu here with us. Yay!
All right, let's hear it for Schomburg Stu.
So, you know, one of these days we got to get you entrance music. I got to get the hunt down a Sinatra clip so we can play you in like we do Mr. Fantasy on Sundays. So,
start spreading the news.
Yeah, but all right, if you'd like to call in and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you happen to miss yesterday's blog, you can swing on over and check out what's going on. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. And sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but you can hunt me down at Burke Time. So there you go.
Well, I have one thing to say regarding Twitter. Ready?
Yeah.
If I were on Twitter, I would say one thing. They don't ask you how you win. They ask you, did you win?
Well, just, you know, you got to be careful. Remember, you know, they went back to when Josh Hader was 17 to find those incredibly stupid comments that he made and then, you know, wrote it for it. So, I did find it humorous. You know, I emailed you, the last email I sent to you before we started was, well, if the Cubs are going to win, they're going to have to beat the Diamondbacks closer, and they beat the Diamondbacks closer with a couple of home runs.
Yeah, that was a shocker. Never expected anything like that to happen, coming back from a 6-1 deficit to win that game. And Bodie really coming through for the Cubs big time.
Yeah, what was it? And of course, you know, I think all they needed was for me to go away from the game because I had to come in and get set up. And, you know, Bodie hits, a two-run homer to tie it, and then Rizzo
right.
wins it with a solo shot.
Right,
so.
Right, exactly. And Rizzo's was a mammoth crush. I may have gone out of the ballpark. I'm not sure. It was really crushed.
You know, and it's one of those things, I mean, you look back and just at the box score and just throughout the game, the telling factor was walks. You know, Tyler Chatwood walked 6 again, gave up 4 runs. Dunsing walked the guy, gave up the grand slam, was only charged with 2 of the runs. And then the Diamondbacks closer, Brad Boxberger, walked the guy to get Bodie up to tie it up. So,
you
got
to strike the pitch. Yeah, that was a very close pitch, by the way. It could have gone either way. That 3-2 pitch to Zobrist was very, very close. But we'll take it.
So, and yeah, you know, not a huge offensive day for the Cubs. I mean, they did end up putting some runs, but majority it was just kind of grouped. If you're a fantasy player, Rizzo was 3-for-5. I do have him in a league, so that'll help me out with the one run, a couple hits. Wilson Contreras was 1-for-3 with a run. Kyle Schwarber was 2-for-4 with a run scored and an RBI. If you have Ben Zobrist, he did score a run for you. I doubt many people have Tommy La Stella, but he was 1-for-1 with a run scored, and I'm willing to bet nobody owns David Bodie yet. But he was 2-for-4 with 2 runs scored and 2 RBIs. So
not bad for a guy coming in today from Iowa.
Yeah. You know, and then on the other side, you know, there's a lot of David Peralta owners out there. He was 2-for-5. Dan's guy, Steven Souza Jr., you know, back off the DL just recently, 2-for-5. Kelte Marte and Daniel Descalzo were each 1-for-2 with a run scored. Nick Ahmed was the big guy if you had him in your lineup. 2-for-4, 2 runs scored, and then, of course, 4 RBIs with the grand slam. And Alex Avila with the solo shot. No, not also a solo shot.
Yeah.
He had 2 run homer. 2-for-3 with 1 run scored and 2 RBIs. So there's your fantasy update hitter-wise. Pitcher-wise, you didn't get much unless you had Eddie Butler and he picked the win up for you. And I don't think, well, Archie Bradley did get a hold, but not a very good pitching line for too many guys. You know, Chavez worked a clean inning. So did Justin Wilson, surprisingly. Cishek did walk a guy. Oh, no, Chavez gave up a hit, but, you know, they didn't give up any runs. So, yeah, it's not a huge day for your pitchers unless you were looking for innings. And I do have Tyler Chatwood in the league as well, so that's not going to help me much. At least he didn't lose.
Oh. Chatwood has a lot of stuff, but his walk rate is just not acceptable, and I'm not sure how long they're going to keep him as a starting pitcher in the five-man rotation.
Yeah, well, you know, the sad part is, you know, you can't put him in the bullpen and have him come in and walk a bunch of guys either.
No, I just don't know what the answer is with him, and unless they try Butler as a starter, stretch him out, or even Chavez.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, there were we had some more movement. We had some more trades. We did have a starting pitcher get dealt. J.A. Hopp finally gets moved, but he's going to New York. The Yankees jumping in, picking up another guy here. They get him for Brandon Drury and former Cub, well, technically Cub prospect, Billy McKinney.
Oh, the outfielder.
Yeah, that's another starter off the board there. The Brewers did go out and get a Sox reliever. They picked up their closer, Joachim Soriano, for a couple of minor leaguers, which is, you know, I don't know, you know, if they'll turn into anything, but Soriano, you know, he'll be a setup guy there. They got Cody, I'm going to butcher this last name, is Medrieros, who's a former first-round pick and has had his struggles, and then Wilbur Perez. There are a couple of minor leaguers there, and then I was a little surprised to see the Astros went out and got a catcher. They got Martin Maldonado, which I'm guessing means Brian McCann probably isn't coming back from his injury anytime soon. And oddly, when I first read the trade, I read it rather quickly. They traded a left-handed pitcher by the name of Patrick Sandoval, and I, of course, read it as Pablo Sandoval, and I was like, when the hell did the Astros get Sandoval? So I was a little off there, but, you know, yeah. So those are the three deals that went through. Apparently, the Cub rumor, which I don't know how interested you are in this, is that they are scouting Rangers lefty Cole Hamels, and they are apparently in talks to see if he's the guy to answer their starting pitching woes. Are you excited about that move?
Not the way he's performed this season. He hasn't really set the league on fire, has he?
No, he's had his struggles the last couple years there in the American League. Oddly, I believe Dan and I were talking about him yesterday. You know, he makes his starts, you know, 20 starts, 114 and a third innings, but he's 5-9 up, honestly, on a bad team. We know the Rangers are bad. But that ERA is 4.72. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much help he could do for the Cubs. There's another rumor going around besides him. Is, of course, the rumor that's been floating around for years about getting Archer. Maybe this time it'll happen. I don't know. But Archer hasn't been that great this year either.
No, yeah, he's had his struggles as well. And, yeah, I was a little surprised when I saw Tampa Bay make a couple of those, I guess you would call them minor moves yesterday. I don't know how you kind of look at Eovaldi. I mean, he's been kind of injury-prone through his career, so I don't know how big of a move that is. But they sent Matt Andrees, is apparently how it's pronounced. I've been pronouncing it wrong all these years. You know, he got shipped off to Arizona. So, yeah, you gotta wonder if possibly, you know, Archer is finally going to go. But, I guess the difficult point there is if you trade Chris Archer, how the hell do you sell tickets?
Yeah.
You know, who are you going there to see if Archer's not there?
They don't sell many tickets anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that could be even worse. You know, and they did just put, you know, what was it? Snell just went on the DL. He was having a real good year. So they're rather limited. I know they have a couple young guys they're trying to work in. But, they've been playing pretty well. That's why I was a little surprised
they
made some moves.
Yeah, they did something. But I don't know, after all these flurry of movements in terms of acquisitions over the last few days, you see anybody winning the World Series other than the Yankees, the Red Sox, or Houston?
Yeah, well, you know, the only team that actually improved, really drastically improved their position was the Yankees.
Right, that's correct.
You know, I mean, you know, I'm not thrilled about J.A. Hopp, but he is an upgrade over, you know, the starters they were using. He's been struggling in July. I mean, he's just flat out been terrible. Maybe going to a contender changes that, and, you know, who knows, maybe all the rumors get to him. You don't know how players act, but, you know, getting Zach Britton was huge because not only do they get him to add to a bullpen that's already good, they keep him away from, like, the Astros, who really need a guy at the back end of games.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen the good and the bad in Hector Rondon, so, I don't know what they're going to get there. I think they could use a guy, and they, you know, kind of like the Cubs. The Cubs need some help, and they kind of missed out so far.
Yeah. Now, Rondon this year with Houston has done pretty well. Isn't his ERA under 2?
Yeah, he's been a bit of a surprise. Of course, a lot of that Astro pitching staff has been. I think that's why there were some questions there. What is he? Yeah, he's 2-2 with a 1.49 ERA. So,
yeah,
you know,
he's done very well for them. If I remember, though, at the beginning when he started pitching for Houston, he didn't have very many kind things to say about the Cubs, did he? When they talked about
he was unhappy that they didn't, you know, offer him a deal or even give him a qualifying offer. So, he was good for a couple years here, you know, probably about 2.5 years, and then he just kind of washed out. And, you know, I know a lot of closers do that. You know, maybe the little respite of not having to close games has helped him out.
Yeah, well, of course, he did have some shoulder issues last couple of years that seemed to hamper him a little bit. Nothing serious, but enough, I think, to detract from his previous performances. He certainly tapered off the last year or two.
You know, they're definitely one of, you know, I was expecting them to go out and try to find the Astros especially, try to find a closer. You know, the Cubs, I just kind of, obviously, if Morrow's healthy, he can close. They just need a guy to be able to take some stress off him because he just can't close every day. I guess there could be a lot of changes in the market here. You know, the reports are the Nationals are apparently going to make a decision this weekend on whether they're buyers or sellers, depending on how they – you know, how they kind of play here. You know, obviously, or I should say easily, the most disappointing team in Major League Baseball. They're 51-50, and they're, about 7 games behind the Phillies now, who have actually extended a little bit of a lead there. And, you know, they're not that close in the wild card race either, about 4 games, maybe 5 games. You know, they have some pieces that could be really interesting if they decide all of a sudden that they're going to sell. I don't think they would move Bryce Harper, but they have, you know, a relief core that could really, you know, help some guys out. I mean, you know, they did just get Herrera from the Royals. They could turn around and move him. But, you know, they also have guys like, you know, Ryan Mattson, who I know has struggled this year, but he's got a decent resume. And then they have Sean Kelly, who is, you know, a pretty good setup guy. So, yeah, they could, you know, they could really kind of be in play here if they decide, you know, hey, let's go. We're going to, you know, we're going to tear some of this up. But
it's very surprising. I myself keep looking at the standing and saying, well, it's time for the Nationals to start making their move in the East.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to happen. They float around 500. They get a game or two below, a game or two above, and that's how they've been staying for the last few weeks.
You know, they're definitely a team that I think could use a shakeup. They need to, you know, maybe make a couple moves, just to, I don't know if inject some new blood or some young blood or what, you know, whatever you have there. But, you know, I mean, obviously one of the top things is they got to find a way to keep Strasburg healthy. When he's healthy, he's a really good pitcher. The problem is you just don't get enough of that to make it viable.
And it's not as if this issue hasn't happened before. I mean, he's had a history of injuries over the last few years, and you start to wonder if it's going to be like this for him all the time, sustaining injuries and not pitching a full season.
Yeah, you go back and, you know, you look at his career. He's made 30 starts in his career twice. He's only been over 200 innings one time. You know, obviously he's not going to get there this year. He's only made 14 starts. You know, he's not going to pick up 16 more starts now. There's just no way. You know, I mean, when he's healthy, he wins. He's 90-52 for his career. The ERA is a really solid 3.13. So, he's a big-time strikeout guy. You know, he always has been. He's got almost 1,400 strikeouts to only a little over 300 walks. So, he's got ace stuff if you can keep him healthy and make him actually be an ace.
Yeah, the talent is there. We know that. The talent is certainly there. Just the fact that he's always getting injured. Maybe the Nationals should hire Mike Marshall and bring him in there to straighten them around.
you kind of look at their team, and it's filled with disappointment. Their catching position is a joke. Bryce Harper, okay, great. He's got 25 home runs. He's hitting .216. I don't care how many home runs you hit. A guy who is supposed to be that talented shouldn't be hitting .216. Ryan Zimmerman has kind of reverted to the Ryan Zimmerman who can't figure out how to stay on the field, and he's hitting .226. I really thought getting Daniel Murphy back was going to make a difference, and let's face it, he's flat out stunk since returning. He's hitting .252. Even Trey Turner, even though he's hitting .261, has been really disappointing this year, and there's just so many guys having off years. You wonder, is Davey Martinez a one and done guy? I mean, they got rid of Dusty Baker, who kept at least getting them into the playoffs.
Martinez
has no shot at that. It looks like he may have a losing record in his first year there. You know, if Harper goes away and finds someplace else, do they get rid of Martinez right after that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Good point.
Oh.
And Murphy is shocking to me. I grant that he was injured this year. I understand that. But when you compare what he's done this year, even when healthy, as to what he did last year, it's just mind-boggling how he's gone down.
They have so many disappointments. You know, like I liked when they brought Matt Wieters in. I thought, okay, they've got a really solid switch-hitting veteran catcher. He's going to be a good add here. Yeah, he's hitting .206, and he's been injured a bunch. I know Michael Taylor was a well-rated prospect coming through their organization, but I just don't think he's a major league player. You know, he's hitting .234. It just kind of, the highlights of their season is Matt Adams and Mark Reynolds have been surprises. There's two guys I'm looking to trade if I'm the Nationals. Hey, will you give me something for either of these two guys?
For sure. If you were a betting man, would you say they're going to start selling? Or are they going to wait another week or two until maybe mid-August?
I think it kind of depends on what kind of offers they can get. But, in reality at this point, I think they have to make some kind of change, not a complete sell, but, maybe a guy like Gio Gonzalez or Tanner Roark has to go. you know, they've both been in that rotation for a long time now, and neither one of them has, you know, Gonzalez had, I think, one really big year and for, you know, for the Nationals, and then that was it. And Roark never really, you know, like when he was a swing man, he was really good. They put him in the rotation, and he never really lived up to his potential.
No.
You know, and sometimes just a little change like that can, you know, can kind of, you know, kind of ignite you. I guess the big problem is, you know, they've had a lot of pitching injuries. You know, if you move one of those guys, can you cover the slot? Do you have a young guy you're confident enough in, you know, to run out there every, you know, every fifth day that, you know, that's not going to get hurt? I mean, I know they've tried Eric Fetty, and he turned around and got hurt. You know, there were a couple other guys that, you know, turned around, you know, made a start and then got hurt. So, you know,
they've had their problems with injuries. Yeah, they've had their problems with injuries. But it's a combination of that plus disappointing performances all the way around from even the players who are healthy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, you know, like I don't have Scherzer or Strasburg or even Harper on the trading block. But, you know, I mean, if you're coming at me and, like I said, you want a Tanner Roark or you want Gio Gonzalez or you want one of my relievers, you know, again, with a, you know, a Matt Adams or a Mark Reynolds, or you want Matt Wieters, who I believe is in the last year of his contract, I'm giving you those guys. You know, we can make a deal there. But, you know, they got to kind of keep those key pieces. You know, Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon. You know, obviously Juan Soto is 19. He's not going anywhere with the way he's played. So, you know, I think you could, you know, if you're the Nationals, you could kind of rebuild on the fly and, you know, shake out some of your veteran guys, even for other veteran guys, if you have to swap them that way. So
Yeah. It's quite interesting, the Eastern Division. I wonder if there was any expert in baseball, yourself excluded, of course, that predicted that the fight would be between Philadelphia and Atlanta for the division title.
I know there was – I saw one guy on the MLB Network who actually picked the Phillies to win the division. This was preseason. I don't remember who it was. But he actually had Philadelphia winning the division, and they, of course, you know, everybody else on the panel laughed at him and didn't really take him seriously. And, yeah, you know, right now, you know, of course, he had Philadelphia and Washington at the top, like I think everybody did. I don't know anybody who didn't have Washington winning this division, with the exception of this one guy who really liked the Phillies. And I'm just disappointed I can't remember which guy it was.
Yeah, but certainly he knew what he was talking about, obviously.
So,
I have not paid too much attention to Arrieta recently. How's he been? Has he still been inconsistent? Or has he? I know I saw one good performance a week or two ago, but he's had some bad ones, too.
Yeah, he just – I know his last start, I think he was I believe he was very good. Let me see if I can hunt down some numbers here really quick, because I remember that. He's been three out of his last four starts. He's actually been good. He had a bit of a clunker, oddly, against the Padres, where he only lasted 3 1/3 and gave up 5 runs, 4 earned. But other than that, he's won his last three out of the four starts, and he went seven innings. He had the clunker against the Padres, and then he went 6 innings. So,
is his ERA still under 3? Or
it's what I see. It was. It's 3.354. Is that what I saw? He is. Yeah, he's currently at 3.45 in his 20 starts. So.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not bad. It's not bad today's standard.
He was 3.53 with the Cubs last year, so he's a little better there. He's 8-6, so his one loss record isn't fantastic. But you know, they're in first place, so
yeah, that's the name of the game, right? They're in first place and battling with Atlanta right now.
So, well, you know, we'll see how that you know, that kind of kind of continues to work out. You know, the Phillies are the other team. I'm waiting to see if they decide they're going to make a move here. I had heard that the Braves are probably going to stand pat because, you know, they like their young core and they're not going to try to mess that up with anything. You know, they're just going to kind of stay at their pace, which, you know, is good and bad because you don't always get back to this. But, you know, if that's what they think is the best deal, well, you know, we can't really argue with them.
I was going to say youth is in their favor. They certainly have a very young team compared to a lot of the other teams in the various divisions. So they look like they're going to be a force over the next few years, as long as their players stay healthy.
You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if or what Philadelphia adds. I know, you know, they were, you know, one of the teams rumored to land Adam Jones, which probably wouldn't cost them much with, you know, the way the Orioles are right now. And
no,
I know, again, Jones is another, you know, the last year of his deal. I did hear somebody express a little concern when it comes to Vince Velasquez in their rotation, because he's been injury prone the last few years and he's over 100 innings now. They're kind of beginning to wonder on how many innings he can actually throw this year. So they, you know, they may have to find a way to either limit his innings or come up with another starter if that's a serious concern. So
yeah, certainly he's had that issues and they have to be cautious. So maybe they'll go after another starter like everybody else is trying to do.
Yeah. You know, and they seem to have worked out their bullpen issues. You know, I thought they needed to go find a closer when, you know, Hector Neris kind of melted down, but they have this Sir Anthony Dominguez who's picked up 10 saves for him and his ERA is 2.02. So, you know, right now he's getting the job done. I guess maybe they'll stay that route, or, you know, maybe they'll just add a veteran guy, you know, veteran setup guy to possibly help him out. You talk about young teams. I mean, with the exception of Arrieta, who's actually just 32, Aaron Nola's 25, Velasquez is 26, Nick Pivetta's 25, and Zach Eflin is 24. So their rotation is really young, and if they stay healthy, you'll be together for a really long time.
Yeah, they will be tough. Once again, though, it all comes down to injuries.
Yeah, you know, even their everyday lineup is really young. They did have Carlos Santana, who's 32, and Cesar Hernandez is 28. Odubel Herrera is 26, and then everybody else who starts for him is either 25 or 24.
Yeah, young team for sure.
So, you know, and you do always wonder, you know, if a young team like that does need a veteran guy, even if he's just a bench guy, you know, a part-time player or somebody like that. And that could be where an Adam Jones comes in. You know, I know Nick Williams has had his issues. You know, Jones could fill in every day in right field if they needed him, or give Herrera a break in center. He's a fantastic defender. And, you know, he could add that kind of that veteran influence that a team like this might really, you know, kind of prosper with. Not that they're not doing well as it is, but he could even add a little more to it.
He'll certainly give them some much-needed stability.
So,
and
you know, one of those odd little ads, with the Orioles, you never know. I mean, you got to figure at this point they're willing to trade just about anybody. So,
I would think so.
It'll be interesting to see who kind of, you know, who's kind of still adding and who decides to do what. I mean, you know, we have, what, 5 more days. And even then you can still add. You just have to, you know, get a guy through waiver. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, the deadline is next Tuesday, right?
Yeah, whatever the 31st falls into. I'm not fantastic with, you know, that kind of stuff.
That is definitely a Tuesday. Next Tuesday is the 31st.
There you go. So we're all set there. So, yeah, we'll have to see how that goes and, you know, who kind of who adds what. And yeah, you know, I think the Nationals making that decision could be a big deal, you know, if they decide to buy or sell. And I know the, there are teams with some pieces, you know, the Mets are still hanging on to their pitchers. I know the Twins have some players that, could add some value to teams down the stretch. You just kind of wonder who's going to make the move. I know I'm sure that, the Tigers, who are actually doing better than I think people thought. I think I actually mentioned that in the blog. You know, they probably have a couple guys they would love to move, being that they're supposed to be in rebuild mode as well. So.
Now, you think that Oakland is going to stay in the hunt with Seattle for a wild card slot?
Boy, you think so. You know, they look so good.
Yeah, they really made a surprise, but I guess you can never hold them down. They always seem to wind up, no matter what they have or how much they have to get, they seem to have a low payroll and a good team.
Yeah, they they've turned some really not great assets into some success this year. I mean, they're getting by with, we mentioned it yesterday, Trevor Cahill has played a big part in that rotation filling in. And, they've used Brett Anderson, a couple guys who, well, Cahill was a good reliever here, but not a starter. But, Anderson was a joke as a starter for the Cubs. And, they've pieced it together through all their injuries. I mean, they've lost 3/5 of their opening day rotation is basically done for the year. So.
Yeah, that's at least something.
Who'd they get a couple good starts out of? Edwin Jackson. So, he just keeps popping
our
up.
Our old friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who's played for he's played for every team in the majors.
Just about. You wonder if maybe, they'll try to add another piece. I think the Familia pickup was a good move. With today's game, you can never have enough bullpen arms just because guys are afraid to let starting pitchers pitch. But, yeah, they look like they're a starter short. I mean? Because if you want to get in that wild card, especially they're playing for a wild card, so it looks like you're going to have to go to New York and probably beat the Yankees. I think you need that one guy you can run out there who can dominate, and I don't know if Sean Manaea is it, but I don't know if there's a – well, I guess if they could go get DeGrom, but the Mets want a really high price there, and I don't know if anybody's willing to pay it yet.
Yeah, I think he'll stay with the Mets myself. I don't see anybody going out and getting DeGrom.
Yeah, that may be something that's done in the off season when a team can kind of figure out how to reload. I just think with what they're asking for, it would be too much to give up and still kind of factor your way through. So.
Yep.
You look at Oakland's team and, there isn't anybody doing anything like what you would consider extremely remarkable. Jed Lowry's posted the best average out of the regulars at .282. Chris Davis is hitting home runs like you expect him to, and Matt Olson just got over 20. He's got 21 homers. But, you look at the stats, and none of them blow you out of the water.
They just win. And that's the name of the game.
I don't even know if you think they were a winning team just by looking at their stats, but they win.
Yeah, that's a lot of teams over the years that have managed to win, and you take a look at their lineups and you figure out how they're doing it. How are they winning? Yeah. But they do it. Maybe chemistry.
I don't know what the factor is. Oakland is going to be that team that, wants to play a bullpen game with you. Their bullpen is just fantastic. Tryon's got an ERA of 1.04. Trevino is 1.33. Their other guys like Petit and Pagan have been solid. So, you know, and then you add, you know, Ryan Butcher, who I know was dinged up a little bit. So, you know, you start plugging these guys in, and it's just like, okay. You know, and I mean, I know Familia's only had a couple outings for him, but he's pitched in two games. He managed to pick up two wins. So
yeah,
it's just like, oh, well, it's a little different than the Mets. So.
Of course, he's not a youngster by any stretch of the imagination, though, and you never know with those guys.
Well, he's just 28. He's actually younger than the closer they have now.
Yeah, that's
so
true. That is true. Yeah, I thought he was a little bit older than that, but I guess not.
You know, I mean, obviously his big part is he's got to stop getting himself suspended because I think he's had a couple suspensions. So
that would be a wise move on his part.
Yeah, well, you know, what was weird is I heard one of the stupidest things I heard in a while yesterday. They were showing the A's highlights. Actually, they were doing the live game look-in while I was watching MLB Network. And, of course, you know, they're talking about potential trades like you and I were. And one of the guys sitting on the set, and it was one of the former players, and some of these guys are really good. Like Pedro Martinez can really break down what a pitcher is doing and what a pitcher is trying to do. But then some of the other guys, I don't know how they got these jobs, because this idiot went on to say that he really believes one of the things the A's need to do is go out and try to reacquire Sonny Gray. And I don't know why the hell he thought the Yankees would give him up. You know, I mean, the Yankees have been looking everywhere for starting pitching, but yet they're going to trade one?
No, it's not going to happen. I don't see how the fact
okay.
that make that remark. It's just not going to happen, period.
Yeah, so I thought it was just incredibly stupid on his part to even think this was, you know, to even let the thought out of his head. I mean, okay, you thought it, well, let it go, because obviously it's dumb. You know, I mean, you're talking about two contending teams. Everybody's looking for pitching, but
yeah.
yet the team that just traded for a pitcher is going to give away a pitcher. You know, how does this work, moron?
Yeah,
so,
I don't see how he could make that remark, and I wonder what the consensus of the other announcers had to say about that one.
So, yeah, you know they didn't say much. I mean, I would have, you know, ripped him and laughed at him and called him all kinds of names and got myself fired and thrown off the set, which is part of the reason I don't work there. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, again, the first thing I was thinking is, how the hell did you get this job? Because that was dumb.
Yeah.
So.
Well. They don't always have quality announcers on any of these shows, on ESPN and
yeah.
and on MLB. And sometimes a good reputation is worth more than being a decent announcer. Some I find you have a good name and you get
with
the job, and you don't do the job for them though.
Yeah, you know, and I understand. You know, you get these ex players, and you need a guy with some personality. You know, it's to give people a, you know, kind of a reason to watch or tune in or however you want to look at it. But, you know, I mean, it's like a lot of things. I mean, when you, just because you think of the idea doesn't mean we need to know it. So, you can just kind of shut up sometimes.
Yeah, that would be the best move. I think of some of Pete Rose's remarks last year and during the playoffs, and I'm glad he's not around anymore doing any of the color commentary.
Yeah, no, you know, like I was quite surprised, like I said, how good Pedro Martinez was.
Yeah,
I wasn't really expecting that out of him, but even. You know, I don't remember what pitcher it was, but he was given a fantastic breakdown on, you know, what the guy was doing and what he was trying to do. And, the tough part is sometimes, you know, his accent gets in his own way, but that's not his fault. But he surprisingly does a really good job. And I never realized he was kind of such a student of the game.
Yeah,
he
pointed out, that's a good point, that he is a student of the game. He can break down different things and analyze things, and you can learn a lot. I think you're right, though. The language, his accent does get in the way a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while, again, you know, like we said, not his fault. It's just,
one
of those, you know, nothing you can do about it. That's where he's from, and that's how he talks.
That's
and
it. That's it.
It goes that way. But, yeah, so... yeah, because that's what I was wondering. I kind of wished he would have said something to the other guy, because he was on set with the guy last night when he mentioned that trade. But yeah, sadly he didn't bring anything up. I would have liked to see Pedro kind of jump in and take a shot at him.
Yeah, that remark didn't make too much sense. But a lot of these guys aren't rocket scientists either.
No, you know, and I get it. A lot of the guys throw it out there because, you know, they want to be talked about. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, this guy said this. Did you hear this guy say that? So, you know, I get it because, you know, no publicity is bad publicity, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, we know all about announcers, don't we? You know who we love to listen to.
Oh, yeah. So. I did find it humorous today, speaking of our buddies, good old Len and JD. When it was a 6-1 game, I noticed they went into their went into their comedy stick. Thank you. You know, they started doing more comedy. So,
yeah,
you know, and then spoke some really bad announcing joke, and then JD followed it up with something even stupider like they tend to do. I was like, yeah, I really need to go turn the radio on and not listen to this, but I battled through it. I turned the White Sox game on. Got Steve Stone, who's giving you these fantastic breakdowns on a team that's just terrible. It's like, oh, God.
What a difference. Make a clean sweep.
So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I know – Hawk is a gigantic tool bag at times, Hawk Harrelson. But at least when he talks about frickin' baseball. I don't want to listen to, you know, I mean, it's not like they're funny as it is. So, you know, it's like, oh, God, here we go.
They're the only ones that think they're funny.
Yeah.
Nobody else does. But
I'm just hoping they're up soon and we can get some new guys in the booth.
Yeah, they weren't ranked all that highly. I saw some kind of a poll a year or so ago, ranking the various announcers for all the teams in the MLB, and they may have ranked maybe in the midpoint, maybe a little bit higher, maybe 12th, 13th, which is higher than I thought they would go. But you expect better announcers in a major market like Chicago, in a marquee team like the Cubs.
So, yeah, definitely. That's what, you know, I'm still disappointed that, you know, Pat Hughes didn't want the television job when it was offered to him. He wanted to stay on radio. So.
Were you too young to remember the trade the Cubs made one time? Lou Boudreau went from the radio booth to managing the Cubs, and Charlie Grimm went from managing the Cubs to the radio booth. Yeah.
That's an interesting move.
Yeah, it was an interesting. They fired the Grimm. Brought in Lou Boudreau from the radio booth, and the radio people hired Charlie Grimm as their color announcer. Very unique move, wasn't it? This is probably before your time, though, I'm sure.
Yeah. Boudreau was still
trade,
doing
right?
Started watching, but Charlie Grimm was long gone by then.
Yeah, Jolly Charlie Grimm, they called him.
But, yeah, you wonder if something like that would ever happen today. So,
yeah, I don't think it's going to happen anymore. That was a unique situation. And the Cubs are so bad anyway, it didn't make much difference. If they made it added a little bit of interest, but their teams are really bad then.
Yeah, you know, I did hear one interesting thing I wanted to run by you, especially with the Cubs now heading into a series here with the Cardinals. We know St. Louis can their manager. They're just playing 500 baseball. They're 51-51. So, you know, as they go on and they start to look for a new guy, One of the things brought up that I was actually kind of interested in was the possibility of Yadier Molina being a player manager. Now, you know, he's 35. Actually, he's 36. He just turned 36 about 2 weeks ago. He is signed through 2021. That's, boy, man, that's going to be old for a catcher by the time he gets to the end of this deal.
Right. Well, that's an interesting possibility because I have a lot of respect for Molina as a hard-nosed ball player, and he knows the game. And you don't see too many player managers anymore. I've seen him over the years, like I mentioned, Lou Boudreau, of course, with Cleveland.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago. But I don't know if that plays out correctly anymore in today's baseball.
Yeah, I was just wondering, and I don't know if he could do it, but if he could kind of, you know, start to transition into that. Because, you know, I know the Cardinals have a young catching prospect. I want to say his name was Carson Kelly, but I don't know if that's right. And, you know, if Molina could handle the managing duties while he's a part-time catcher, you know, of course, you know, you look at his stats this year, he's hitting .287, got 14 home runs.
Yeah, he's having a good year. He's having a great year.
Yeah, you know, not like his skills have diminished. And then, I mean, even more impressive in today's game, in 72 games, 258 at-bats, he's only struck out 39 times.
Yeah, he's a heck of a ball player. Now, but if he did get that title, player manager, how would that affect his contract? And would he be able to still play up to the same level that he's playing at right now, plus do the managing?
Yeah, well, you know, that's always the question is, you know, could they do it? And, I mean, he's going to make a really good living here the next 2 years. He signed for $20 million for the next two seasons. You know, he's making that this year. He's due to make it next year and in 2020. So, you know, I don't know if that would be something, you know, if that would change or how they would go about doing it. But, you know, I mean, we are looking at a guy who's probably a Hall of Famer. You know, I don't know if he's the first ballot. Probably a Hall of Famer down the road.
Yeah, I would. In my opinion, I would make him a Hall of Famer first ballot. The guy is just a phenomenal player. I mean, you can't ask for anything more. He's a gutsy, tough player than Yadi. Of course, the Molina family, it runs in their blood, I guess. Because he's not the only one that's in the majors.
You know, that's just kind of strange that they all end up playing the same position. I don't know how that happens when you're growing up.
Yeah. And as you well know, because you've done it, that is one of the toughest jobs to handle defensive-wise in the majors is being a catcher. I just hired in the body. And how he's done it at this level for so long is just pretty amazing. As you pointed out, he's 35, 36 right now?
Just turned 36. So.
And, you know, these nagging injuries that they get just accumulate wear and tear on you over the years. And look what happened to him a month or two ago, and it was a horrible injury. I mean, one of the worst. When he got hit in the groin, and he was out of action for a month, and they thought they may have to make some other surgery. They did surgery, which was successful, but it was just a horrible, horrible injury. And it's the little other injuries that they accumulate wear and tear-wise over the years that really can be very detrimental to your health.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You look at his, you know, the impressive thing is his defense. You know, he's fielding at, you know, a .997 clip, and he's throwing out 31% of the base runners trying to steal against him. You know, he's probably in line for another gold glove. That'll be, I think, 9 in his career. So, you know, he's ranking right up there with some of the, you know, some of the top guys. And it'll be 9 gold gloves if he wins another one this year.
Yeah, he's a classy ball player, too. I always thought that he was a very gracious competitor and really a credit to the game.
Yeah, you know, it'd be nice to see. Hopefully, you know, he plays his entire career with the Cardinals, you know, just one team, is very rare nowadays.
You don't see that happen anymore. You know, very, very seldom you see that happening. I'm sure Mike Trout, though, will wind up making his career with the Angels. But that remains to be seen, I suppose.
You know, they can afford to pay him. You know, Artie Moreno, who owns that team, does have money. You know, I guess it's just, can they get the pieces around him to win? Because,
I
think he's made one playoff appearance.
Yeah. Well, he's one of these guys that shuns the spotlight. He likes to be low-key kind of a guy and all the different endorsements he could make. And he's not too much of a rep when it comes to being interviewed by various media. That's not his forte.
No, and you can't blame him for that. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I know they, the commissioner kind of made a big deal out of it there for a little bit, but I guess I can understand why baseball would like him to do more, just because it would draw more attention to the game.
Sure.
But, that's not really Trout's responsibility. I mean, he did do the video game commercial I saw. So, he's done sub things. I remember him having a Subway ad.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that was, I think it was a couple seasons ago. So, one of those guys, he's the opposite of a lot of guys who will, kind of endorse just about anything now. So.
Yeah, I know that Harper's made a few commercials. Bryce Harper's made a few commercials, and I'm sure they're quite lucrative. Maybe that's why he's hitting 210 or 215.
Maybe, too much time on the commercial scene, but who knows? So now I was kind of interested on this, and I've always kind of wondered why this continues to come up. Again, there was another NFL national anthem story, Jerry Jones kind of brought it up at the press conference. And then, of course, the media ran with it. And, they continue to push this anthem thing front and center. And what baffles me, and I don't know if anybody else has mentioned it except for us here on the podcast, the NBA has had a very, very similar and strict rule regarding the national anthem for years now. And for whatever reason, it never comes up when they're like killing the NFL and the NFL is the villain and they're bad guys for doing this. How has the NBA kind of gotten away with this scot-free and the NFL takes all the heat?
Are you saying that, and I'm not sure about this, that some NBA players will not stand during the anthem as some of the NFL players have done?
They actually had a guy, I believe in college, he played for LSU by the name of Chris Jackson, and then he converted to Islam, and he was like Mahmoud Ahmed Rauf or something like that, and he refused to stand for the national anthem because of his new religion. So the NBA instituted this rule basically stating that players are required to stand or else they could be punished by whatever their rule is. I don't know if it's suspension or fine. And, this was, I'm guessing, 10 years ago maybe now when he played. And this rule has been in place since then. And nobody says a word about it. But, the NFL entered their rule this year where they want everybody to stand, and then the Dolphins came out and said if a player doesn't stand, he could be suspended, for I think it was up to 4 games. And, that set everybody off and made them go crazy, but nobody mentions the fact that the NBA has had this rule all along.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's a fact that I suppose the NFL is more popular than the NBA, wouldn't you say?
I don't know. I thought the NBA was pretty popular. I mean, I know, like, I don't enjoy it, but I think there's a lot of – I think it would be pretty close.
Yeah, I'm surprised because even looking at the papers now, when I look at the Sun-Times – and is that a commercial? Can I say that? Okay. Not that many papers
sure.
in the area. But there seems to be – even now, and with preseason coming up in a couple of weeks, there seems to be so much more in the media and in the newspapers about football than basketball. And even during when basketball is in the preseason mode, there seems to be a lot more coverage of football and baseball than basketball and hockey.
Well, maybe if we had a good basketball team, it would
yeah,
be different.
That's true. That's true. Let's think back 20 years ago, and maybe the publicity would be a little bit. Maybe you're right. There'd be a lot more. I suppose that that's a factor. And I'm going by local news.
Yeah.
Of course, the Bears being a bad team, there's still a lot of coverage about the Bears. How great Trubisky is going to be, and the new coach is going to turn things around, and there's a lot of material over the last couple of weeks about it.
Yeah, like a place like Chicago has really always been a football town. It's always been a Bears
yes.
town. It really, no matter who's been winning, or even when they were bad, they've been bad lately. But even when they're bad, it's still a Bears town. And I wonder if a lot of other places are like that. But I assume if you're you're in Cleveland, are you a Browns town or a Cavs town?
Yeah,
the Cavaliers
yeah.
have been winning with LeBron, and the Indians have been pretty good. San Francisco with Golden State, is every town like that?
Yeah, it's interesting that the coverage, I guess, is more commensurate to how well a local team does than what sport is more popular. Yeah, that's a good point.
But, yeah, it just kind of baffled me that it's like anytime the national anthem comes up, they go right on the attack mode to the NFL. We've got to attack the NFL on this. And I just kind of like, the NBA has had this rule for many, many years before the NFL even considered, having an issue with it.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you brought that up, because – no one seems to be even thinking about the NBA when this controversy occurs. It's always the NFL that gets the brunt of the news.
Yeah. I don't know if, maybe just because it was so long ago that, there was more support for the anthem then. I mean, maybe the country was more patriotic, and, things have kind of changed now with social media and everybody having an opinion on everything, where it's not as big of a deal if you're not 100% behind your country, or however it works. I think you and I might be too old for this, but
yeah, I think maybe one of the reasons is that's because the social issues that we've had in the country over the last few years, and you know what I'm talking about, the various shootings
yeah.
and the controversies and everything else, maybe that's what's made this so important in a lot of people. The fact that the race issue could be put serious and to the forefront in the news, and now this makes it more important in terms of the management of the organization and the fans and everybody else. Go say it's a combination of the other issues, I think.
Yeah, it was just kind of baffling to me how it's always, the NFL is always the bad guy when it comes to this, but yet, the NBA has had the rule much, much longer than the NFL or I believe any other sport. Like, I don't think it's mandatory in baseball. I don't think they have a rule, or hockey, even though I don't know how big of an issue it would be in hockey. So...
yeah, it's a very good point that you brought up, and I guess the NFL is taking the brunt of it, it looks like. I did not know that the NBA had that rule so long.
Yeah. Well, I don't think a lot of people do, but check out what's going on with it.